Chapter 12. Woven in the Pattern. Egwene hurried after Nynaeve toward the knot of Aes Sedai around the Ammerlin Seat's horse-borne palanquin. Her desire to know what had caused the turmoil in Faldara kept outweighing even her worry over Rand. He was beyond her reach for the moment. Bella, her shaggy mare, was with the Aes Sedai's horses, and Nynaeve's mount, too. The warders, hands on sword hilts and eyes searching everywhere, made a steel circle around the Aes Sedai and the palanquin. They were an island of relative calm in the courtyard, where Shinaran soldiers still ran amid the keep's horrified inhabitants. Egwene pushed in beside Nynaeve. The two of them all but ignored after a single sharp glance from the warders. All knew they would be leaving with the Ammerlin, and caught enough in the crowd's murmurs to learn of an arrow that had flashed seemingly from nowhere, and a bowman yet uncaught. Egwene stopped, wide-eyed, too shocked even to think that she was surrounded by Aes Sedai. An attempt on the life of the Ammerlin Seat. It went beyond thinking of. The Ammerlin sat in her palanquin with the curtains drawn back, the blood-stained rip in her sleeve drawing all eyes, and faced down Lord Aglmar. "You will find the bowman, or you will not, my son. Either way, my business in Tar Valon is as urgent as that of Ingtar on his quest. I leave now." "But, mother," Aglmar protested, "this attempt on your life changes everything. We still do not know who sent the man or why. An hour more and I will have the bowman and the answers for you." The Ammerlin barked a laugh with no amusement in it. "You'll need slyer bait or finer nets to catch this fish, my son. By the time you have the man, it will be too late in the day for leaving. There are too many who would cheer to see me dead for me to worry over much about this one. You may send me news of what you find, if you find anything at all." Her eyes traveled around the towers overlooking the courtyard and the ramparts and archers' balconies, still jammed with people, though silent now. The arrow had to have come from one of those places. "I think this bowman has already fled from Faldara." "But, mother..." The woman in the palanquin cut him off with a sharp gesture of finality. Not even the Lord of Faldara could press the Ammerlin Seat too far. Her eyes came to rest on Egwene and Nynaeve, piercing eyes that seemed to Egwene to be seeing everything about herself that she wanted to keep secret. Egwene took a step back, then caught herself and dropped a curtsy, wondering if that were proper. No one had ever explained to her the protocol of meeting the Ammerlin Seat. Nynaeve kept her back straight and returned the Ammerlin's stare, but she fumbled for Egwene's hand and gripped as hard as Egwene did. "So these are your two, Moiraine," the Ammerlin said. Moiraine gave the barest nod, and the other Aes Sedai turned to stare at the two women from Emmon's Field. Egwene swallowed. They all looked as if they knew things, things other people did not, and it was no help at all to know that they truly did. "Yes, I sense a fine spark in each of them. But what will kindle from it? That's the question, isn't it?" Egwene's mouth felt dry as dust. She had seen Master Podwin, the carpenter back home, look at his tools much the same way as the Ammerlin was looking at the two of them. "This one for this purpose, that one for that." The Ammerlin said abruptly, "It is time we were gone. To horse. Lord Aglmar and I can say what needs to be said without you all gawking like novices on a free day. To horse!" At her command, the warders scattered to their mounts, still wary, and the Aes Sedai, all but Lyanna, glided away from the palanquin to their own horses. As Egwene and Nynaeve turned to obey, a servant appeared at Lord Aglmar's shoulder with a silver chalice. Aglmar took it with a dissatisfied twist to his mouth. "With this cup from my hand, mother, take my wish that you fare well on this day and every..." Whatever else they said was lost to Egwene as she scrambled on to Bella. By the time she had given the shaggy mare a pat and arranged her skirts, the palanquin was already moving toward the open gates, its horses stepping without rein or lead. Lyanna rode beside the palanquin, her staff propped at her stirrup. Egwene and Nynaeve brought their horses along behind with the rest of the Aes Sedai. Roars and cheers from the crowds lining the town streets greeted the procession, all but drowning the thunder of the drummers and the blare of the trumpeters. Warders led the column with the banner bearing the white flame waving in ripples, and rode guard around the Aes Sedai, keeping the mass of people back. Archers and pikemen, the flame blazoned on their chests, followed behind in precise ranks. The trumpets fell silent as the column wound its way out of the town and turned southward, yet the sounds of cheering from within the town followed still. Egwene glanced back often, until trees and hills hid Faldara's walls and towers. Nynaeve, riding alongside, shook her head. Rand will be all right. He has Lord Ingtar and 20 lances with him. In any case, there is nothing you can do about it. Nothing either of us can do. She glanced toward Moiraine. The Aes Sedai's trim white mare and Lan's tall black stallion made an odd pair, off to one side by themselves. Not yet. The column angled westward as it traveled, and it did not cover the ground quickly. Even footmen in half-armor could not move fast through the Shinaran hills, not and maintain the pace for long. Still, they pushed as hard as they could. Camps came late each night, the Amarlin allowing no stop until barely enough light remained to pitch the tents, flattened white domes just tall enough to stand in. Each pair of Aes Sedai from the same Aja had one, while the Amarlin and the Keeper had tents to themselves. Moiraine shared the tent of her two sisters of the Blue. The soldiers slept on the ground in their own encampment, and the warders wrapped themselves in their cloaks near the tents of the Aes Sedai to whom they were bonded. The tent shared by the Red Sisters looked oddly lonely without any warders, while that of the Green seemed almost festive.
Joey.
Aes Sedai often sitting outside long past dark to talk with the four warders they had brought between them. Lan came once to the tent Egwene shared with Nynaeve, taking the wisdom into the night a little distance away. Egwene peered around the tent flap to watch. She could not hear what they said, except that Nynaeve eventually erupted in anger and came stalking back to wrap herself in her blankets, and refused to talk at all. Egwene thought her cheeks were wet, though she hid her face with a corner of her blanket. Lan stood watching the tent from the darkness for a long time before he went away. After that, he did not come again. Moiraine did not come near them, giving them only a nod in passing. She seemed to spend her waking hours speaking with the other Aes Sedai, all but the Red Sisters, drawing them aside one by one as they rode. The Amarlin allowed few stops for rest, and those short.
"Maybe she doesn't have time for us anymore," Egwene observed sadly.
Moiraine was the one Aes Sedai she knew. Perhaps, though she did not like to admit it, the only one she was sure she could trust.
"She found us, and we are on our way to Tar Valon. I suppose she has other things to concern her now."
Nynaeve snorted softly. "I'll believe she is done with us when she's dead, or we are. She is sly, that one." Other Aes Sedai came to their tent. Egwene almost jumped out of her skin that first night out of Faldara when the tent flap was pushed aside, and a plump, square-faced Aes Sedai, with graying hair and a vaguely distracted look in her dark eyes, ducked into their tent. She glanced at the lantern hanging at the highest point of the tent, and the flame rose a little higher. Egwene thought she felt something, thought she almost saw something about the Aes Sedai when the flame grew brighter. Moiraine had told her that one day, when she had more training, she would be able to see when another woman channeled, and to tell a woman who could channel even if she did nothing.
"I am Verin Mathwin," the woman said with a smile, "and you are Egwene Alvear and Nynaeve Almira, from the Two Rivers, which was once Manatheron. Strong blood, that. It sings."
Egwene exchanged glances with Nynaeve as they got to their feet.
"Is this a summons to the Amarlin seat?" Egwene asked.
Verin laughed. The Aes Sedai had a smudge of ink on her nose.
"Oh my, no. The Amarlin has more important things to deal with than two young women who are not even novices yet. Although, you never can tell. You both have considerable potential, especially you, Nynaeve. One day..."
She paused, rubbing a finger thoughtfully right atop the ink smudge.
But this is not one day. I am here to give you a lesson, Egwene. You have been poking in ahead of yourself, I fear. Nervously, Egwene looked at Nynaeve. What have I done? Nothing that I'm aware of. Oh, nothing wrong, not exactly. Somewhat dangerous, perhaps, but not exactly wrong. Verin lowered herself to the canvas floor, folding her legs under her. Sit, both of you, sit. I don't mean to crane my neck. She shifted around until she had a comfortable position. Sit. Egwene settled cross-legged across from the Aes Sedai and did her best not to look at Nynaeve. No need to look guilty until I know if I am, and maybe not then. What is it I've done that's dangerous but not exactly wrong? Why, you've been channeling the power, child. Egwene could only gape. Nynaeve burst out, That is ridiculous! Why are we going to Tar Valon if not for that? Moiraine Sedai has been giving me lessons, Egwene managed. Verin held up her hands for quiet, and they fell silent. She might seem vague, but she was Aes Sedai after all. Child, do you think Aes Sedai immediately teach every girl who says she wants to be one of us how to channel? Well, I suppose you are not exactly every girl, but just the same. She shook her head gravely. Then why did she? Nynaeve demanded. There had been no lessons for her, and Egwene was still not sure if it rankled Nynaeve or not. Because Egwene had already channeled, Verin said patiently.
So have I.
Nynaeve did not sound happy about it. Your circumstances are different, child. That you are still alive shows you weathered the various crises and did it on your own. I think you know how lucky you are. Of every four women forced to do what you did, only one survives. Of course, Wilder's... Verin grimaced. Forgive me, but I am afraid that is what we in the White Tower often call women who, without any training, have managed some rough control, random and barely enough to be called control, usually like you, but still control of a sort. Wilders have difficulties, it is true. Almost always they have built up walls to keep themselves from knowing what it was they were doing, and those walls interfere with conscious control. The longer those walls have to build, the harder it is to tear them down. But if they can be demolished, well, some of the most adept sisters ever have been Wilders. Nynaeve shifted irritably and looked at the entrance as if thinking of leaving. I don't see what any of that has to do with me, Egwene said. Verin blinked at her, almost as if wondering where she had come from. With you? Why, nothing. Your problem is quite different. Most girls who want to become Aes Sedai, even most girls with the seed inside them like you, are afraid of it, too. Even after they reach the tower, even after they've learned what to do and how, for months they need to be led step by step by a sister or by one of the accepted. But not you. From what Moiraine tells me, you leaped into it as soon as you knew you could, fumbling your way through the dark with never a thought of whether there was a bottomless pit under your next step. Oh, there have been others like you. You are not unique. Moiraine was one herself. Once she knew what you had done, there was nothing for it but for her to begin teaching you. Did Moiraine never explain any of this to you?
Never.
Did Moiraine never explain any of this to you?
Never.
Egwene wished her voice was not so breathless.
She had other matters to deal with.
Nynaeve snorted softly. Well, Moiraine has never believed in telling anyone anything they did not need to know. Knowing serves no real purpose, but then neither does not knowing. Myself, I always prefer knowing to not.
Is there one? A pit, I mean?
Obviously not so far, Verin said, tilting her head. But the next step? She shrugged. You see, child, the more you try to touch the true source, the more you try to channel the one power, the easier it becomes to actually do it. Yes, in the beginning, you stretch out to the source, and more often than not, it is like grasping at air. Or you actually touch Saidar. But even when you feel the one power flowing through you, you find you can do nothing with it. Or you do something and it isn't what you intended at all.
That is the danger. Usually, with guidance and training, and the girl's own fear slowing her down, the ability to touch the source and the ability to channel the power come together with the ability to control what she is doing. But you began trying to channel without anyone there to teach you any control at all of what you do. I know you don't think you're very far along, and you are not, but you are like someone who has taught herself to run up hills, sometimes at least, without ever learning how to run down the other side, or to walk. Sooner or later, you're going to fall if you don't learn the rest of it. Now, I'm not talking about anything like what happens when one of those poor men begins channeling. You will not go mad. You won't die, not with sisters to teach and guide you. But what might you do entirely by accident, never meaning to? For an instant, the vagueness had dropped from Varen's eyes. For an instant, it seemed, the Aes Sedai's gaze had flicked from Egwene to Nynaeve as sharply as the Ammerlin's had. Your innate abilities are strong, child, and they will grow stronger. You must learn to control them before you harm yourself, or someone else, or a great many people. That is what Moiraine was trying to teach you. That is what I will try to help you with tonight, and what a sister will help you with every night until we put you into Shiriam's most capable hands. She is mistress of novices. Egwene thought, can she know about Rand? It isn't possible. She'd never have let him leave Faldara if she even suspected. But she was sure she had not imagined what she saw. Thank you, Varen Sedai. I will try. Nynaeve rose smoothly to her feet. I will go sit by the fire and leave you two alone. You should stay, Varen said. You could profit by it. From what Moiraine has told me, it should take only a little training for you to be raised to the accepted. Nynaeve hesitated only a moment before shaking her head firmly. I thank you for the offer, but I can wait until we reach Tarvalen. Egwene, if you need me, I will be— By any gauge, Varen cut in. You are a woman grown, Nynaeve. Usually the younger a novice, the better she does. Not with the training necessarily, but because a novice is expected to do as she is told, when she is told, and without question. It is really only of use once the actual training has reached a certain point. A hesitation in the wrong place, then, or a doubt of what you have been told to do, can have tragic consequences. But it is better to follow the discipline all the time. The accepted, on the other hand, are expected to question things, as it is felt they know enough to know what questions to ask and when. Which do you think you would prefer? Nynaeve's hands tightened on her skirt, and she looked at the tent flap again, frowning. Finally, she gave a short nod and settled back down on the floor. I suppose I might as well, she said. Good, Varen said. Now, you already know this part, Egwene, but for Nynaeve's sake, I will take you through it step by step. In time, it will become second nature. You will do it all faster than you can think of it, but now it is best to go slowly. Close your eyes, please. It goes better in the beginning if you have no distractions at all. Egwene closed her eyes. There was a pause. Nynaeve, Varen said. Please, close your eyes. It will really go better. Another pause. Thank you, child. Now, you must empty yourself. Empty your thoughts. There is only one thing in your mind. The bud of a flower. Only that. Only the bud. You can see it in every detail. You can smell it. You can feel it. Every vein of every leaf. Every curve of every petal. You can feel the sap pulsing. Feel it. Know it. Be it. You and the bud are the same. You are one. You are the bud. Her voice droned on hypnotically, but Egwene no longer really heard. She had done this exercise before with Moiraine. It was slow, but Moiraine had said it would come more quickly with practice. Inside herself, she was a rosebud, red petals curled tightly. Yet suddenly there was something else. Light. Light pressing on the petals. Slowly the petals unfolded, turning toward the light, absorbing the light. The rose and the light were one. Egwene and the light were one. She could feel the merest trickle of it seeping through her. She stretched for more, strained for more. In an instant it was all gone, rose and light. Moiraine had also said it could not be forced. With a sigh, she opened her eyes. Nynaeve had a grim look on her face. Varen was as calm as ever. "You cannot make it happen," the Aes Sedai was saying. "You must let it happen. You must surrender to the power before you can control it." "This is complete foolishness," Nynaeve muttered. "I don't feel like a flower. If anything, I feel like a blackthorn bush. I think I will wait by the fire after all."
"As you wish," Varen said. "Did I mention that novices do chores? They wash dishes, scrub floors, do laundry, serve at table, all sorts of things. I myself think the servants do a better job of it by far, but it is generally felt that such labor builds character." "Oh, you are staying? Good. Well, child, remember that even a blackthorn bush has flowers sometimes, beautiful and white among the thorns. We will try it one at a time. Now, from the beginning, Egwene. Close your eyes."
Several times before Varen left, Egwene felt the flow of the power through her, but it was never very strong, and the most she managed with it was to produce a stir in the air that made the tent flap stir slightly. She was sure a sneeze could have done as much. She had done better with Moiraine, sometimes at least. She wished it was Moiraine doing the teaching. Nynaeve never even felt a glimmer, or so she said. By the end, her eyes were set and her mouth so tight that Egwene was afraid she was about to begin berating Varen as if the Aes Sedai were a village woman intruding on her privacy. But Varen simply told her to close her eyes once more, this time without Egwene. Egwene was sitting, watching the other two between her yawns. The night had grown late, well past the time she would usually be asleep. Nynaeve wore a face like week-old death, her eyes clamped shut as if she never meant to open them, and her hands white-knuckled fists in her lap. Egwene hoped the wisdom's temper did not break loose, not after she had held it this long.
"Feel the flow through you," Varen was saying. Her voice did not change, but suddenly there was a gleam in her eyes. "Feel the flow, flow of the power, flow like a breeze, a gentle stirring in the air." Egwene sat up straight. This was how Varen had guided her each time she had actually had the power flowing through her. "A soft breeze, the slightest movement of air, soft."
Abruptly, the stacked blankets burst into flame like fatwood. Nynaeve opened her eyes with a yell. Egwene was not sure if she screamed or not. All Egwene knew was that she was on her feet, trying to kick the burning blankets outside before they set the tent on fire. Before she managed the second kick, the flames vanished, leaving wispy smoke rising from a charred mass and the smell of burned wool.
"Well," Varen said. "Well, I did not expect to have to douse a fire. Don't faint on me, child. It's all right now. I took care of it."
I was angry." Nynaeve spoke through trembling lips and a bloodless face. "I heard you talking about a breeze, telling me what to do, and fire just popped into my head. I didn't mean to burn anything. It was just a small fire in my head." She shuddered.
"I suppose it was a small fire at that."
Varen barked a laugh that was gone with another look at Nynaeve's face.
"Are you all right, child? If you feel ill, I can..."
Nynaeve shook her head, and Varen nodded.
"Rest is what you need, both of you. I've worked you too hard. You must rest. The Amyrlin will have us all up and away before first light."
Standing, she towed the charred blankets.
"I will have some more blankets brought to you. I hope this shows both of you how important control is. You must learn to do what you mean to do, and nothing more. Aside from harming someone else, if you draw more of the power than you can safely handle, and you cannot handle much yet, but it will grow. If you draw too much, you can destroy yourself, you can die, or you can burn yourself out, destroy what ability you have." As if she had not told them they were walking a knife edge, she added a cheerful, "Sleep well." With that, she was gone. Egwene put her arms around Nynaeve and hugged her tight. "It is all right, Nynaeve. There is no need to be frightened. Once you learn to control..."
Nynaeve gave a croaking laugh. I am not frightened. She glanced sideways at the smoking blankets and twitched her eyes away. It takes more than a little fire to frighten me. But she did not look at the blankets again, even when a warder came to take them away and leave new. Verin did not come again, as she said she would not. Indeed, as they journeyed on, south and west, day by day, as fast as the footmen could move, Verin paid the two women from Emmons Field no more mind than Moiraine did, than any of the Aes Sedai. They were not precisely unfriendly, the Aes Sedai, but rather distant and aloof, as if preoccupied. Their coolness heightened Egwene's unease and brought back all the tales she had heard as a child. Her mother had always told her the tales about Aes Sedai were a lot of fool men's nonsense, but neither her mother nor any other woman in Emmons Field had ever met an Aes Sedai before Moiraine came there. She herself had spent a good deal of time with Moiraine, and Moiraine was proof to her that not all Aes Sedai were like the tales. Cold manipulators and merciless destroyers, breakers of the world. She knew now that those, at least, the breakers of the world, had been male Aes Sedai, when there were such, in the Age of Legends. But it did not help a great deal. Not all Aes Sedai were like the tales, but how many, and which? The Aes Sedai who came to the tent each night were so mixed that they did not help at all in clearing her thoughts. Alviarin was as cool and businesslike as a merchant come to buy wool and tabak, surprised that Nynaeve was part of the lesson, but accepting, sharp in her criticisms, but always ready to try again. Alanna Mosvani laughed and spent as much time talking about the world and men as she did teaching. Alanna showed too much interest in Rand and Perrin and Matt for Egwene's comfort, though, especially Rand. Worst of all was Leandrin, the only one who wore her shawl. The others had all packed them away before leaving Faldara. Leandrin sat fingering her red fringe and taught little, and reluctantly at that. She questioned Egwene and Nynaeve as if they had been accused of a crime, and her questions were all about the three boys. She kept it up until Nynaeve threw her out. Egwene was not sure why Nynaeve did so, and then she left with a warning. Watch yourselves, my daughters. You are in your village no longer. Now you dabble your toes where there are things to bite you. Finally, the column reached the village of Meadow on the banks of the Mora, which ran along the border between Shinar and Arafel and so into the river Arinon. Egwene was sure it was the Aes Sedai's questions about Rand that had made her start dreaming of him, that and worrying about him, about whether he and the others had had to follow the Horn of Valir into the Blight. The dreams were always bad, but at first they were just the ordinary sort of nightmare. By the night they reached Meadow, the dreams had changed, though. Pardon, Aes Sedai, Egwene asked diffidently, but have you seen Moiraine Sedai? The slender Aes Sedai waved her away and hurried on down the crowded, torchlit village street, calling for someone to be careful with her horse. The woman was of the yellow Aja, though not wearing her shawl now. Egwene knew no more of her than that, not even her name. Meadow was a small village, though Egwene was shocked to realize that what she now thought of as a small village was as big as Emmons Field, and it was overwhelmed now with many more outsiders than there were inhabitants. Horses and people filled the narrow streets, jostling to the docks past villagers who knelt whenever an unseeing Aes Sedai sped by. Harsh torchlight lit everything. The two docks jutted out into the River Mora like stone fingers, and each hosted a pair of small, two-masted ships. There, horses were being hoisted on board by booms and cables and canvas cradles under their bellies. More of the ships, high-sided and stout with lanterns topping their masts, crowded the moon-streaked river, already loaded or waiting their turn. Rowboats ferried out archers and pikemen, the raised pikes making the boats look like gigantic pricklebacks swimming on the surface. On the left-hand dock, Egwene found Anaya, watching the loading and chivying those who were not moving fast enough. Though she had never said more than two words to Egwene, Anaya seemed different from the others, more like a woman from home. Egwene could picture her baking in her kitchen. She could not see any of the others so. Anaya Sedai, have you seen Moiraine Sedai? I need to talk to her. The Aes Sedai looked around with an absent frown. What? Oh, it's you, child. Moiraine is gone, and your friend Nynaeve is already out on the River Queen. I had to bundle her onto a boat myself, shouting that she would not go without you. Light, what a scramble. You should be aboard yourself. Find a boat going out to the River Queen. You two will be traveling with the Armerlin Seat, so mind yourself once you're on board. No scenes or tantrums. Which ship is Moiraine Sedai's? Moiraine isn't on a ship, girl. She's gone. 2 days gone, and the Armerlin is in a taking over it. Anaya grimaced and shook her head, though most of her attention was still on the workers. First Moiraine vanishes with Lan, then Leandrin, right on Moiraine's heels, and then Verin, none of them with so much as a word for anyone. Verin did not even take her warder. Tomas is chewing nails with worry over her. The Aes Sedai glanced at the sky. The waxing moon shone without the hindrance of clouds. We will have to call the wind again, and the Armerlin will not be pleased with that either. She says she wants us on our way to Tar Valon within an hour, and she will brook no delays. I would not want to be Moiraine or Leandrin or Verin when she sees them next. They'll wish they were novices again. Why, child, what's the matter? Egwene drew a deep breath. Moiraine gone? She can't be. I have to tell somebody. Somebody who won't laugh at me. She imagined Anaya back in Emmons Field, listening to her daughter's problems. The woman fit the picture. Anaya Sedai? Rand is in trouble. Anaya gave her a considering look. That tall boy from your village? Missing him already, are you? Well, I shouldn't be surprised if he is in trouble. Young men his age usually are. Though it was the other one, Matt, who had the look of trouble. Very well, child. I don't mean to mock you or make light. What kind of trouble and how do you know? He and Lord Ingtar must have the horn and be back in Faldara by now, or else they've had to follow it into the Blight, and there's nothing to do about that. I don't think they're in the Blight or back in Faldara. I had a dream, she said it half defiantly. It sounded silly when she said it, but it had seemed so real. A nightmare for true, but real. First there had been a man with a mask over his face and fire in place of his eyes. Despite the mask, she had thought he was surprised to see her. His look had frightened her till she thought her bones would break from shivering, but suddenly he vanished, and she saw Rand sleeping on the ground wrapped in a cloak. A woman had been standing over him, looking down. Her face was in shadow, but her eyes seemed to shine like the moon, and Egwene had known she was evil. Then there was a flash of light and they were gone, both of them. And behind it all, almost like another thing altogether, was the feel of danger, as if a trap was just beginning to snap shut on an unsuspecting lamb, a trap with many jaws. As though time had slowed, and she could watch the iron jaws creep closer together. The dream had not faded with waking the way dreams did, and the danger felt so strong she still wanted to look over her shoulder, only somehow she knew that it was aimed at Rand, not at her. She wondered if the woman had been Moiraine, and upbraided herself for the thought. Leandrin fit that part better. Or perhaps Alana, she had been interested in Rand, too. She could not bring herself to tell Anaya. Formally, she said, Anaya Sedai, I know it sounds foolish, but he is in danger. Great danger. I know it. I could feel it. I still can. Anaya wore a thoughtful look. Well, now, she said softly. That's a possibility I'll wager no one has considered. You may be a dreamer. It is a small chance, child, but we haven't had one of those in, 400 or 500 years. And dreaming is close linked to foretelling. If you really can dream, it may be that you can foretell as well. That would be a finger in the Red's eye. Of course, it could be just an ordinary nightmare, brought on by a late night and cold food and us traveling so hard since we left Faldara, and you missing your young man, much more likely. Yes, yes, child, I know. You are worried about him. Did your dream indicate what kind of danger? Egwene shook her head. He just vanished, and I felt danger and evil. I felt it even before he vanished. She shivered and rubbed her hands together.
I can still feel it.
Well, we will talk about it more on the River Queen. If you are a dreamer, I will see you have the training Moiraine should be here to—
You there!
The Aes Sedai barked suddenly, and Egwene jumped. A tall man who had just sat down on a cask of wine jumped too. Several others quickened their step.
That's for loading a board, not resting on.
We will talk on the boat, child.
No, you fool, you can't carry it by yourself. Do you want to hurt yourself?
Anaya went striding off down the dock, giving the unfortunate villagers a rougher side of her tongue than Egwene would have suspected she had. Egwene peered into the dark toward the south. He was out there, somewhere. Not in Faldara. Not in the Blight. She was sure of it.
Hold on, you wool-headed idiot. If you get yourself killed before I can get you out of this, I will skin you alive.
It did not occur to her to ask how she was going to get him out of anything, going to Tar Valon as she was. Snugging her cloak around her, she set out to find a boat to the River Queen.